going to speak to you this morning a little bit about overcoming fear. And we all know how fear is spelled. False evidence appearing real. That's one definition of it. And how many of us have felt and still do feel fairly fearful during this season? Fear of that virus, fear of going out, fear of staying in, fear of losing income, fear of government overreach, fear of government ignorance, fear of shortages, fear of riots, fear of neighbors, fear of relatives, fear of breathing. Yes, fears will come. And the devil just loves to jump out at us in times of stress and shout, boo! And cause our hearts to grow faint in the face of all that's happening. Well, where does that fear come from? Well, certainly not from God. 2 Timothy 1 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I so appreciated what David said in Psalm 56, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Now, this is out of the Message Bible. "Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with people all over the world. So keep a firm grip on your faith. This suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before the generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet again for good. He gets the last word." Yes, he does. It has been said many times, there are over 365 verses in the scriptures that tell us not to fear, that God is with us, not against us, that he is the champion of heaven, the conquering hero, the everlasting victor. Now, here's the words for an old song that most of you will recognize. Now, I'm not going to sing it, but we'll recite the words, and you'll remember this one when you hear it. "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms" by Iris DeMent. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Now that phrase, the everlasting arms, comes from a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 33, and this is from the Message Bible. "There is none like God, Jeshurun," and Jeshurun was another name for Israel. "There is none like God, Jeshurun, riding to your rescue through the skies, his dignity haloed by the clouds. The ancient God is home on a foundation of everlasting arms. He drove out the enemy before you and commanded, destroy. And Israel lived securely, the fountain of Jacob undisturbed, in wine and grain country. And oh yes, his heavens drip with dew." And there are many more places in the word that promise us freedom from fear. And there's also this verse in Matthew 11, chapter 12, first from the King James Version and then from the Passion Translation. And Jesus is talking and he's saying, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." The Passion Translation says it this way: "From the moment John the Baptist stepped onto the scene until now, the realm of heaven's kingdom is bursting forth, and passionate people have taken hold of its power. Now, once we have accepted our freedom from fear through the gift of the Holy Spirit, as Paul said in that verse from Timothy, we must tenaciously hold on to it, to be almost violent in protecting that freedom, to be ruthless in opposing anything that smacks of fear. We must be like David in saying, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. When my mother died, the Lord taught me how to grieve, how to mourn her loss, but how not to be overtaken by a spirit of grief. Each time the feelings of grief would come upon me, I'd spend a few minutes experiencing it, for grief must be acknowledged and dealt with. However, the Lord also showed me how to stop it from becoming an opening for a spirit of grief to sneak in to take up residence. Deal with the pain in the moment, but then move on to something else. And the next time those feelings would pop up, even if it was only 5 minutes later, to stop, experience the loss, and then move on. Even if this happens every hour on the hour, do the same thing. And eventually it will become morning and evening. And then I was able to think of my mom without the tears, without the spirit of grief attacking me, trying to hang on. Through the grace of God and my determination to hang on to the freedom in the spirit that comes from being a child of God, this is how that spirit of grief was denied access. And it's the same way with this spirit of fear. Each time we get that boo shouted at us, look at it for what it is, a scare tactic from the enemy. Detach from the emotional impact of it and move on. Yeah, but I hear you say, what about government guidelines? What about health and safety regulations? What about social considerations? What about blah, blah, blah? And then what about, did God really say not to be afraid of things that could kill you? I mean, after all, this is a deadly virus. Yes, he did say that. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus warns us not to be afraid of the things that are sent to destroy our bodies. Our souls are God's domain, and our main concern should be for having a great reverence and affiliation for God, who alone has the power to destroy both if we turn away from him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, in the Passion Translation, it says this, and Jesus responded to the people, saying, why do you keep looking backward to your past and having second thoughts about following me? When you turn back, you're useless to God's kingdom realm. And the King James calls it putting your hand to the plow. These second thoughts are usually the ones planted by the enemy of our souls in the first place. Now, remember a key verse in our walk with God, and that's 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ. The obedience that Jesus had. The obedience to the anointing that he had and was. Now, do you remember some of the things that the anointing gives us? In Malachi, now these are some different things that I want you to think about. From Malachi chapter 4, God says, but unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. In Exodus 15, and God said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I've brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then in Isaiah 54, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says God. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, this is from the Message Bible. This is the kind of life that you've been invited into, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step. He never did one thing wrong, not once said anything amiss. They called him every name in the book and he said nothing back. He suffered in silence, content to let God set things straight. He used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way. His wounds became your healing. You were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going. Now you're named and kept for good by the shepherd of your souls. Isn't that precious? So what place does fear have in that? None. No place. And then listen to this one. This is the best one of them all. It's Psalm 91. And this is from the Passion Translation. You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow, say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge, outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day. No disease that prowls through the darkness, nor the disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, and they drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched, watching from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents out of your path. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you and then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. So, in light of these few promises about standing in faith and not in fear, how do we get strong in them? How do we release our fears and grab hold of the boldness, the bravery, the confidence in God's ability to keep us? Well, here's a clue. In Proverbs 18, out of the Message Bible, it says this, words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill, words give life. They're poison or fruit. You choose. In the King James Version, it says it this way, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I love what this says in Deuteronomy. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, against your name, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. You see, it's a choice. How we speak over our situations will either bring life or death. If we're constantly speaking out of fear, not trusting God with everything about our lives, we will reap the end result. Death, not only in our body, but also in our spirits. But if we're constantly speaking out of faith, absolutely trusting God with everything, we will reap the end result of that too. Life, both here and now, and eternity with God. So, are your words healing you? Is your self-speak, your obedience, your trust, your faith proclaiming life? Or are your words keeping you in dire circumstances? I had to laugh once when the Lord showed me this formula. Speak a bad word equals bad circumstances. Speaking a good word cancels bad circumstances. But to have a good set of circumstances, you must speak that good word over and over and over to the 10th power and keep on speaking it until the good overtakes the bad. Remember the last few verses of Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So let our faith in the goodness of God speak out of our mouths, not fear. Let's declare out of our mouths great circumstances in our lives. Let's be like Jesus, who said he only does what he saw the Father doing and only spoke what he heard the Father say. How was the world created? By the spoken word. How was our salvation completed? By the spoken word of Jesus. It is finished. How will our lives change? By speaking out the words of God. My prayer for all of us this day, this season, is that we first and foremost learn what the Word of God is, then to begin to train our mouths to speak only those things, not to repeat fear-filled thoughts that come from our enemy. Remember, Jesus said that the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy, but he comes to give us life more abundantly than anything the devil could throw at us. Now let me ask you a question. How do you get to play a musical instrument really well? You practice, practice, practice. How do you get to be a good sport? You practice, practice, practice. How do you learn to drive? By practice, practice, practice. How do you learn to live without fear being the overriding force in your life? Practice, practice, practice. Speaking out the words of faith over your life. The Lord is my shepherd. He has given his angels charge over me. I am the head and not the tail. I will be above and not beneath the circumstances. It is his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. I am the apple of his eye. Every good and perfect gift comes to me from the Father of lights, and he doesn't turn away bringing shadows of doubt. He is my fortress and strong defender. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. All of these statements of faith are taken from scripture verses and should be part of our everyday language, our everyday acknowledgement of who we are. No more squirrel cage thinking, oh, I'm not feeling too good today. I must have that flu thing or whatever it is, that virus thing going around. Oh, God, I'm going to get so sick. I'm going to have to go to the hospital and there's no ventilators. And I'll just slip off into a coma and nobody will come visit me and I'm going to die. And no one will even know because can't even have funerals anymore. Stop that. That's the voice of fear, the boo in the middle of your life. Resist that. Be like David. What time I am afraid, I will trust you, God. Give the enemy absolutely no platform to stand on, no place to have any authority in your life or circumstances. As one of the verses in the song that we had at the very beginning says, you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears have gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Can you honestly say that? No longer a slave to your fears? Driven by the, oh, but what about this? or that happens. That's nonsense. The enemy of your soul constantly screams to your spirit. But if that's where you are, then be comforted. Your Father knows exactly where you are. He has never left you, has never abandoned you. You are not orphaned. He has not left you defenseless. You are not alone. You are cherished. You are engraved on the palms of His hands. And you are so loved. Make this your house motto. No fear lives here. Your brain motto. No fear lives here. Your mouth motto. No fear lives here. Father, I pray for everyone listening today that they hear this message, that they hear your heart and know that you've never left them, that there is no reason to fear. But when they do fear, that they can come to you because we trust you. Lord, I pray that whoever needs to hear this message gets it down into their heart and so learns to trust you. In Jesus' name.